And so opening, as I mentioned in that previous piece that we just heard, opening at stage left is a play called Mandelstam, which is somehow a name that has not only appeared in my life here, but in some other context where, I don't know, it's funny how words will come along, but Doug Dawson, who is directing this play, is here to educate us about the word and about the play. Let's start with the name of this play. What's the significance of this word?
Mandelstam is the last name of Osip Mandelstam, who was a Russian poet who wrote a, and the crux of the play basically is that he wrote a poem about comparing Stalin's fingers to fat maggots and his mustache to cockroaches, which inevitably led to him dying in a gulag.
Yeah, that's not the kind of thing one said.
No.
At that time. Okay, and so that's the quick overview of the play, and here we have
and it's
with
a comedy.
Us, we have not only Boris Pasternak but Stalin himself.
Yes.
So good casting to be able to come up with Uncle Joe on this. And that's J.P. O'Shaughnessy as Stalin and Sean Beharry as Boris Pasternak. Will the scene we're about to hear from the play kind of be the best way to really get into it, or should you want to set it up a little bit?
It's a good example of the kind of the writing that Don Nigro has done. It's very much a dark comedy. So you'll hear that in here, that Stalin especially is... you got the blustering, confused, and trying to make his point. Pasternak with the very confident, "I'm the leader of Russia, I do what I want," Stalin. In this scene, I believe is this the one where you call Stalin?
Yeah.
Okay, so the show starts with Stalin calling Pasternak, and there's a telephone call. Now, in this next scene, Pasternak gets confident enough to call Stalin after the Mandelstams have been sent in.
And Pasternak is a fellow poet, friend of Mandelstam's.
So that's what's happening here. He's kind of calling on behalf of finding out what's going on with the Mandelstams because he's concerned. And earlier he said he's not concerned, but so Stalin gets him chasing his tail. It's kind of fun.
Okay, well, here we go with this conversation between Boris Pasternak and Joseph Stalin.
What?
What?
Hello.
Is it you?
Of course it's me. Who else would it be? What is it?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just surprised that I've gotten through is all. I've tried to call before, but I can never get through.
Well, you're a lucky little sucker. Now, who the hell are you?
Well, it's Boris.
Boris who?
Pasternak.
Oh, Pasternak. I thought you were dead. Haven't we shot you yet?
No, not yet.
Are you sure?
I'm fairly sure.
You know, you really shouldn't have been able to get through. Perhaps you're dreaming, or perhaps I'm dreaming, or perhaps I'm getting telephone calls from the dead now. I don't know. It doesn't matter. What do you want?
Well, I hope I didn't wake you. I really didn't imagine I'd ever actually be able to get through.
Well, you did. Congratulations. Now, what's so damned important that you've got to make a loud ringing noise in the middle of my room at 4 o'clock in the morning?
It's about Mandelstam.
What about him?
I'm worried about him. I've heard nothing from them since they were sent away, and I'm very concerned, and I wondered if he was all right, and nobody else could tell me. And I couldn't sleep, so I got up in the middle of the night, and just on an impulse, almost before I knew what I was doing, I dialed this number, and there you were. Perhaps I really am just dreaming.
You called me in the middle of the night to ask me about Mandelstam?
Yes.
I thought you weren't all that close to him.
I'm not. But I worry about him still. And about his wife. Are they all right?
Of course they're all right. We take very good care of these people. I seem to remember one of them jumped out a window and the other had typhus or something, I think. But now they're fine. I'm sure they'll send you a postcard someday.
Are you certain they're all right?
Boris, would I lie to you?
Of course not. I just...
Honestly, I don't know why you're so obsessed with these people.
I'm not obsessed with them. I just feel responsible, in a way.
Why would you feel responsible for Mandelstam?
I don't know. He's another poet.
So you feel responsible for all poets? Is that what you're telling me? You wish to take the sins of all poets upon yourself like Jesus? Is that it, Boris?
No, that's not it at all. I'm just...
Worry about yourself, Boris. I guarantee you, if the situation was reversed, Mandelstam would not be calling me at 4 o'clock in the morning to ask about you, now would he?
No, probably not, but nevertheless...
You know what Mandelstam is doing right now, Boris? He's probably screwing his wife and writing a poem about what a genius I am.
Do you think so?
Actually, I don't care. Now, if you'll excuse me, I was just about to get lucky with my Latvian housekeeper, a stupid woman with enormous tits. So go back to sleep, Boris, if you're not sleeping already. And Boris.
Yes?
Next time, don't call me. I'll call you.
A scene from that Mandelstam. I think it's pretty clear which voice was which voice. J.P. O'Shaughnessy as Stalin, and then Sean Beharry as Boris Pasternak, and then with us the director, Doug Dawson. And I will admit, Doug, we'll start with you, and then anybody else can jump in. I'm now more confused than I was before.
Very good.
Good.
Okay, so that's appropriate here. Because, you know, what are we taking seriously, what or not? I mean, certainly we know of Stalin. We presume Stalin as that coarse, you know, and just, you know, completely unfeeling and willing to play with somebody. Boris Pasternak being pretty gutsy to go in at 4 in the morning and then try to defend why he could be so forward and yet not. So I guess where I'm at about overview on this play is it historically true, or is it taking these personalities and then the playwright simply creating these scenarios?
Playwright creating the scenarios, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah, I doubt he, you know, if that phone call ever actually happened historically. Mm-hmm. We do know that Pasternak did become writer, the head of the Socialist Writers Union for Stalin, and was friends with Mandelstam. And it kind of went to bat for him a little bit. That's historically correct. The rest of it, you know, is obviously the playwright doing that. And we did pick it up in the middle of the show. The beginning of the show, like I said, it starts with a phone call of Stalin calling Pasternak. And Pasternak is scared to death. So he has a wonderful arc in the show that goes from, by the time we see this phone call, he is starting to be a little more bold. Without doing any spoiler alerts, you know, that's an arc that Sean has really crafted quite well through the show, is taking it each scene where he interacts with Stalin, we see a bit more of that. And now, as far as historically, I really doubt that ever truly happened.
What stage in Stalin's life does this play take place? Is it right near the end of his life, JP?
It was towards the end of Stalin's life. He actually, toward the end of the play, which takes place over a period of, I'm not sure how many years, about 14, I think. He thinks that Stalin died in 53. The play starts about 1938 and then sort of goes on from there. But Mandelstam was banished to Siberia because of this poem that he wrote about Stalin.
The timeline's a little linear. It's not linear, I mean. Meaning...
We do jump around
a
lot.
So it's, you know, we have him in Lenin's funeral at the very beginning, and then it's like just a couple minutes later, you know, we've got Mandelstam dying, and then, you know, a couple minutes later, Stalin's dead. Well, that was 15 years. You know, so it does that.
The poem is discussed long before it's ever actually seen on the stage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so so I'm really curious about you, JP, who I've seen in many different intense characters in your acting career, finally getting around to playing Stalin. What kind of a Stalin are you playing? I mean, we heard a lot of it. We certainly heard the coarseness and the willingness to say anything to anybody.
As you said, I think Stalin was coarse, but he was a sociopath. Basically, his philosophy comes out at one point in the play where he says, "I'm striving to create a society that knows when to throw people away. If someone isn't useful, you murder them in your head anyway. Why not just kill them outright?" That was his sort of philosophy. He makes comments about being in the seminary and how he used to sneak in writings by Tolstoy, which were forbidden, and the priests used to break into his trunk and take his books and put them on a and put them in a bonfire. And he says, you know, the church taught me everything I know about freedom of expression. Mm-hmm. And Yosalin was a very warped character who basically had no compunction about human life at all, really.
Well, and that did come out in this, certainly in this scene. So talk about what are the other characters, historical or not, that are in this play? Is it primarily these two?
No, it's actually very much an ensemble piece of four characters: Mandelstam, Osip Mandelstam, and then Nadezhda Mandelstam, his wife. And they really have just about an equal amount of stage time. There is no lead, really. I would say the character most affected, that we see the biggest arc, would probably be Pasternak. But it's not about Pasternak. It's not about Stalin. It's not about Mandelstam or Nadezhda. They all have an equal story that's being told in this. The playwright has done a very crafty job of making that. And what's wonderful is, even as bad as Stalin is, you're invested. You know, especially with JP's portrayal, he's fun. He's the fun character, believe it or not. Stalin is the fun character in the show. He's the funny one.
Yeah, because everyone else has things to lose. We all have stakes.
Everybody else is worried about dying.
You know, the premier of
Russia. And it's really also about what the atmosphere was then, where people were afraid to speak, and the big brother aspect of everybody was listening, and you know, whatever you said could be misinterpreted or could endanger your life.
Yeah, at one point, someone actually says something that's like, very controversial. It could get them in trouble. And then we all try and segue to, wow, isn't the weather lovely today, just to like just to subvert any potential like listening or.
Yeah. And that's Sean Beharry speaking. And Sean, tell us a little bit about yourself as actor. Have you done any other stage left things? Or?
This is my first stage left show. I've done a few things over at Gonzaga. I wasn't a student, but over the last year, 19 to 20, yeah, I was in a show called Dog Sees God. I did a few of the directing show pieces, but primarily I'm based out of the Blue Door Improv Theater up on Garland.
Oh, okay.
Where, yeah, I have a bit of a larger background in comedy than dramatic acting, I suppose.
Okay, and so, yeah, and the Blue Door, it looks like they have a new show title for the year, too, don't they? Or is the Friday night show a new emphasis that's just starting up right now?
They rotate through. We do, a different Friday format, just about every month, every 6 weeks, I believe. I think it's called The Rant.
The Rant, yeah, because I hadn't encountered that one before.
I've actually been absent from there. I took a slight leave just so I could do this stage left performance.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that this was going on until the night before auditions, and the whole description in the Facebook event said, hey, come here with an extensive historical background knowledge. Like a lot of research about what character you'd be auditioning for. I showed up 15 minutes late. I had only found out at 9 p.m. the night before, and I was like, hey, Doug, I'm here to do a cold read. He's like, all right. And somehow I conned him into getting this job.
As Boris Pasternak in this play, Mandelstam, which opens this Friday, Saturday, 7:30, Sunday at 2, and then that's through the 26th of the month. And the folks from stage left, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To see you. You